This is The Grad Perspective, where fresh voices in sports media and business take to the mic. We often hear from the veterans, the industry giants decades into their career, but what about those breaking in? I'm your host, Kira Johnston, and each episode I sit down with a Holmes Glen graduate who is making their mark in the industry. If you are chasing a career in sport or just want to know what it really looks like, you're in the right place. Honest conversations, real experiences, stories that inspire the next wave.
No one in my family has ever gone past high school. And the one thing that I know for sure, where we are in Australia, is that if you bust your backside to a point and you are talented to a point, the sky's the limit. No one's stopping you. It's probably the best thing I've ever done when it comes to career and just a life path, to be honest.
Today, I am joined by Paul Sebastiani. Welcome.
Hello, Kira. Thank you very much for having me.
No, of course. It's lovely to have you in the seat. I was going to say what your role currently is, but I'm going to let you explain because I think you just do everything.
That's a good way of describing it. So since graduating from Holmes Glen, I've worked my way into the Sports Entertainment Network building. And at the moment, I'm doing a whole range of jobs, which is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Producing, hosting, co-hosting, assistant producing, writing, form analysis, everything you can think of when it comes to media. I'm doing at the moment behind the scenes at Sports Entertainment Network and TV hosting as well, which is a lot of fun. So they call me the Swiss Army knife in the building. So whenever there's an issue that needs to be sorted in some sort of domain, I'm there to sort it out.
Are you sure you're doing enough?
I could be doing more. You can always be doing more, Kira. No, always be doing more.
That is just ridiculous, Paul. We work in the same building and you are never not there.
Isn't it funny how that's worked? I know. From Holmes Glen to the same building.
I know. And a little tidbit for the listeners. I wouldn't even be a Holmes Glen graduate if it wasn't for yourself and Alexi telling me to come here. So it's a big circle moment.
There you go. See, you can't get away from us.
I'm trapped. Can you take me back, Paul, to where your passion for sport and media began?
That's a very good question. It goes all the way back to when I was a child. Ever since I can remember, I would go to the football Aussie Rules with my father and close family, and we would go with family friends to what is now called Icon Park, Optus Oval, Princes Park, as most people would well and truly know with the work I do outside of SEN. A lot of it is to do with the Carlton Football Club, given that's a big love of mine and a passion of mine. And our seats were in the old Hero stand, the old John Elliott stand, and our seats were right next to the commentary boxes. So ever since I can remember, I would always watch the game, obviously, and then turn back and listen to Rex Hunt and Clinton Gribus, bless his soul, on 3AW. And I'd always turn to my dad and say, oh, I want to be like Rex and Clinton. That's always what I've wanted to do. And as I grew up, I was always pretty shy, to be honest. And then I don't know what happened. You just kind of grow into yourself, and always had a love for sport and played it to the best of my ability as a junior with football and futsal and soccer and tennis and cricket, but then just love talking about it. And I thought, well, can we try and make a career out of this? Love commentating FIFA. So I'd sit down with cousins at home and we'd play FIFA and we'd try to impersonate commentators, Martin Tyler and Clyde Tilsey and all the great commentators of world football. And it just kind of grew from there, and people said, oh, Jesus, why don't you follow it as a career? And no one in my family has ever gone past high school degrees or anything like that, or university degrees. So came here, Holmes Glen, and followed it from there. So it all stemmed from when I was a young tacker, and it just built from there.
Paul, shy? I don't believe what I'm hearing.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah, I was a very shy kid. Very, very shy kid. And then I think you just expose yourself to scenarios and moments, and you don't get embarrassed by it or anything like that. You grow up, and that's what happened sort of mid-teens, and here we are.
So you go to Icon Park as a little lad. You fall in love with commentary, and then you find yourself at Holmes Glen between 2017 and 2019. What was that journey of studying like?
getting into the course was a bit of a process because I studied accounting when I finished university.
Wow.
Exactly. Don't ask me why. I think I had this thought in my head, if I work in money, I'll make money.
Fair call.
It doesn't really work that way when you think about it. And I followed the passion that and the love that I always had, and I dropped my accounting degree. Didn't know how I was going to get into media or sports media, and then saw this course pop up on, it was a Google search.
Wow.
At a beach house in Rye during the summer. And I got the call from Robbie saying, oh, we're interested in taking you on board. We've seen some of your work with the Northern Blues. I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity from quitting accounting into this higher education degree with Holmes Glen, that I got an opportunity at the Northern Blues VFL team through, shout out to Luca Gonardo, who's with a competitor of ours, 3AW now, but he's a great fella, Luca. And he gave me my first opportunity as a volunteer, as a media officer at the Northern Blues. Had that experience under my belt for about 6 months, wrote articles, did social media for them, and then it ended up helping me gain an entry into the higher education degree, which now I look back on and it was probably the best thing I've ever done when it comes to career and just a life path, to be honest.
So many people talk about higher education and the essays and things like that. I think something we've definitely learnt from the first few episodes of this podcast is that Holmes Glen is very different in the fact that they're very hands-on.
Oh, yes.
And they like to get you hitting the ground running.
Yep.
What was your experience with that?
Well, the one thing that I learnt during this degree compared to others, let's say compare it to journalism degrees at RMIT and Melbourne University, which in inverted commas may be more prestigious. One thing that Holmes Glen gets you ready for is being street smart. And that's a big, big thing. So you can go through university, these amazing higher education degrees at Melbourne University, at RMIT, at all these big universities across Australia. But a lot of it is theory based. And for a lot of students and a lot of people, it's hard for them to translate that book-based knowledge and that theory-based knowledge into real-life practice. Whereas at Holmes Glen, this is the theory component, which obviously you have to learn, but we need to get you street smart with your communication, your confidence levels, and then your ability to write CVs, write resumes. It may sound like such a simple thing, but nailing that aspect was, I would say, arguably one of, if not the most important aspect of what you do postgraduate degree. So the street smart side of things is what Holmes Glen will get you ready for, because when you're going into these roles outside of your degree, you're talking hundreds of people trying to get into these particular roles. And if you don't stand out with your CV, with your resume, with your communication, with your confidence levels, you're not going to get anywhere.
Sounds like common sense, but common sense isn't all that common, is it?
Very true. Very, very true.
And you'll definitely drown in this industry if you don't have
Correct.
All of those street smarts.
Correct.
Take me back to your graduation. Mm-hmm. So you finish the course, you get through all the street smart learning, all the essays, but then you're also on the door of lockdown. You're on the door of the entire world shutting down in front of you. What was that like?
Well, we finished the degree and we're all getting ready for what we were hoping was going to be a fantastic graduation ceremony. Just never eventuated. We had a fantastic night out the day that we finished up classes and exams. We had a fantastic night and evening at the conservatory, which was organised by Dr. Samuel Duncan. Had to get him in there. One of my absolute favourites. Him and Robbie Coyle organised that night. And our cohort, from memory, I reckon there would have been not even 15 people.
Wow.
Very, very small cohort. And we had a ball. We had a fun night. But unfortunately, we didn't get to go through the formalities of a graduation ceremony. I got my degree, my bit of paper in the mail. And it was unfortunate because it was not necessarily me going up on the stage shaking hands with your lecturers and head of course and collecting the paper. It was more just, for me, it was the family. my family getting able to being able to see what I'd achieved over a 3-year period, and not necessarily doing it for them, but knowing that the hard work that they'd put in to raise me was paying off. And that was an unfortunate side of things, but they've seen my career flourish to date. There's still a long way to go, obviously. We don't stop, but that was an unfortunate part, but it is what it is. You dealt the cards that you deal with. If you dealt bad cards, you've got to try and bluff and play your way through the hand. So, like I said, it was unfortunate, but it was a weird world back then, a very, very weird world.
It feels like yesterday. It also feels like a million years ago. It's a very weird feeling. You mentioned the small cohort. It was a small but mighty cohort.
It was.
What did you learn from the people in your course? Because I mentioned this a few episodes back, but I will never forget on my first class, Simone said to me, "You might not get along with everyone, but someone in this room will be your boss one day, so don't burn bridges."
That's a great call.
And I've never forgotten that. And so what did you learn from your cohort?
A great call. I think outside of university, I love listening to all sorts of podcasts, whether that's on sport or politics or religion, whatever it may be. And what I learned is that everybody has different beliefs. Everybody has different families, different backgrounds, different opinions. The ability to listen to what people are saying rather than stopping them in their tracks with what they're saying is something that I learnt to do a lot better throughout the course. And the communication skills with people you've never met before is a critical part of you getting through the course, because essentially when it's such a small cohort and you're so much more tight-knit than what you would be at, say, an RMIT or a Melbourne Uni, where you've got 150, 200, 300 people in your cohort, you don't know who the lecturers are personally, you don't know who the students are, you're dealing with new people every single day. So that has its pros and cons as well. Sometimes they say getting to know people too much is actually a flaw.
100%.
But I don't see it that way. But I think, understanding that there are going to be a lot of differing opinions and differing ways of communicating what you think is the right thing to do in particular moments, whether that's with projects, essays, teamwork, individual work, is something that I learned a hell of a lot of during my time at Holmesclear. It was a lot of fun. And look, I'll be frank, I'm not going to name names because I'll never do that. There are a lot of arguments, bit of beef. Sometimes people had to be put in separate corners of the room, but that's going to happen, Kira. It is going to happen. It's like football teams.
100%.
When you're so connected with what you're doing and you're so driven, there are going to be moments where you have a differing of opinion and people are going to clash. That's just the reality of it. And I think if you don't expect that and you're too naive to that, well, you're in for a rude awakening. That's not to say that you go out there trying to get people offside. You don't do that. But I think what Simone said to you, not burning your bridges. Sometimes the bridges are best fortified when you're going against each other in a certain way.
We've had some great debates over the years, and we have a great deal of respect for each other.
We do.
Differing opinions happen, and debates are great. Go to Twitter; you can find out debate.
It's fantastic. I wouldn't. Yeah, Twitter and social media is its own chasm. It's a very, very odd part of our communication and life, because it's something that, if you think about it, I mean, us as humans, we've never, this is something completely new to us. It's completely new to our brains, the way we look at it, the way we communicate. So everybody's trying to navigate their way through it, but Holmesclear got me ready for it, which is good. And that, no, I'm not being paid for this, by the way.
Are you sure? No brown paper bags, you're paid for Carlton.
No, nothing like that. So I'm not being paid, but this is, the reason I came here is because of what the course has given me and how much appreciation I have for it and the lecturers and the students I was with and the friends I've made too from the course.
I missed it at the start, but you mentioned off air when you walked in how nice it felt walking through the hallways again. We'll just jump back a few steps. What was it like walking back again today?
I literally walked through and did the look up like that and just had a smile on my face and thought, oh, geez, this is a wind back. Good times. You have all these dreams and goals and ambitions ahead of you when you're first walking through these corridors, when you first start your courses, you know, people want to be sports commentators and host TV shows, and everybody's dreams are big and grand. But until you actually realise it and get there, sometimes it's good to step back to your roots and where you came from, which was great. It was a lot of fun walking through the doors.
You were like in a movie, yeah, looking up and seeing your life flash before your
eyes.
And
I tell you what, I knew I was back at Holmes Glen when I struggled to find a car spot.
They've put tollway signs up now.
I know.
Stitching us up.
I know. And they've dropped outside here to 40.
Yeah, diabolical scenes.
So it's changed
Vic
a bit.
Roads, help us out.
Oh, God, let's not go down that path, shall we? Be here for a long time.
You mentioned the hopes and dreams you had when you were in this course. Some of those since have been, you've done VFL commentary. You mentioned you worked for the Northern Blues, now the Northern Bull Ants, the Herald Sun, Wharf Radio, iHeart Horse Racing, SEN, I can't miss Blue Abroad. You've been here, there and everywhere. What have all these places taught you?
What have all these places taught me? It might be a little cliche, just be yourself. Be yourself. Do you have to bite your tongue sometimes? Yes, but you've got to judge that to the best of your ability. But just be yourself. And yeah, you're going to have moments where there'll be moments where you have these great highs and euphoria, which are fantastic, but then you're going to have lows that, you know, whether it's people berating a comment you've made or berating what you've said behind a microphone, and it can go the other way too, where people have been very complimentary of something that you may have said. So I think striking the balance between speaking your mind and knowing when to say it is definitely something that I've learned during those podcasts, because those things are, those podcasts outside of work, speaking of, you know, Blue Abroad and the Jumper Punch and other things that I've done outside of my career, they teach you how to communicate with different people. And that's something that, to go back to what Holmes Glen was and what it taught me, has borne fruit in those particular scenarios too. So it's not as though you're in the scenario on a podcast or on a TV show and you think, oh, what did I do back at Holmes Glen? It's just ingrained in you.
Absolutely.
It's ingrained in you. And those foundations that we learnt here have been ingrained in me, and it's become second nature to me. So those are the two things: being yourself, knowing when to speak your mind, and just speaking your mind as well.
I'd love to go down the Jumper Punch Blue Abroad path a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in independent media when you also work in a mainstream media company, and how you balance your views and maybe saying, I mean, I'm sure what you'd say on those shows you probably wouldn't say on an SEN show, but how do you strike that balance between the independent and then the big sort of...
professional?
Yeah, not professional, but the more...
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Passionate, more colourful type of media. I think one thing I've learned is when you're in front of a camera, it doesn't matter what context it's in, again, be yourself, but understand that there are humans that you are, to a certain point, critiquing when it comes to sport, as long as you're not getting personal. And, you know, there have been times when I sort of first started those podcasts where, you know, Carlton would lose a game or Arsenal would lose a match and you kind of go off. And, I mean, people are going to say things that may be out of hand, but, I mean, everybody's sworn. Everybody's sworn.
Absolutely.
I think it's just part of the passion that you have. And it's, for me, I think what I look at in those particular scenarios now and what I've learned from the start of that to now is critiquing performances of a sporting club or a sporting individual, I think is fine, but be well-researched. Because, and I don't want to come across as ignorant, or not, I don't want to come across as arrogant, but there are a lot of dumb people out there, Kira.
Oh, there is, don't worry. Davin and I were discussing this off air.
There are a lot of dumb people. And I'd like to think that I put a lot of time and effort and research into analysing what I'm talking about, because with that comes great discussion, and with that comes accountability on your own part. So, again, being entertaining is one thing, but also holding yourself into account, so that when other people's hold, when other people hold you into account, you could say, hang on a minute, no, this is what I've actually said. This is the truth with regard to the research that I've done. If you've got something to come back at me with, well, fair enough, we can have that discussion and debate. But like I said, the more work and research and effort you put into attempting to be correct is something that I've learnt as I've gone on with these podcasts. So that's definitely one thing that I've taken out of it all.
Well, that's what makes sport great, right? The correct. Passion and yeah, exactly. The love for
exactly.
It. But like, I mean, I don't want to sound like a football coach here, but the highs are never as good as they seem and the lows are never as low as they seem.
It's true.
So
it's very true. And one thing too, with SEN and doing what we do there, you gain a lot more access to the athlete and the coaches and administration staff in these elite sporting organisations. And the one thing I've realised is that, especially at Aussie Rules, when you're talking about head coaches and players, you're talking about, in their field, the best of the best. And if you've not been the best of the best in your field, are you really up to critique to a certain point,
yeah.
if that makes sense? So that's what I've definitely taken on board over the last couple of years.
I mean, I sit on the wing at the MCG and say, brother, what are you doing? I could kick that. I could not kick a football to save my life.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
It's an exaggeration because of your love and passion. And you, I think this is the case for most people when they go and support their club and comment on their club, whether that's in the grandstand or on social media. It's the motivation for most, I would suggest, maybe this is me being a little naive as well, they just want what's best for the team that they follow or the people that they follow. Whether that might be an arm around the shoulder or a bit of a kick up the backside, I think the balance of both is what you need.
I just want to be partying down Lygon Street in September.
Nice.
Is that all too much to ask?
Well, at the moment it is. They'll get there, I hope.
One day. We can hope and pray, Paul. Yeah. As we've mentioned a few times, you're the Swiss Army knife at SEN. There's not much you don't do. So this is going to be a very tricky question.
But okay.
Can you try and talk me through what your week looks like? Give someone listening a bit of insight into what it looks like to be Paul.
I'll tell you what it is right now.
Yep.
So from Monday to Friday, it's up at 4 a.m., into the office at 5 a.m., into the news booth, and I will record the RSN news update, which is a horse racing thoroughbred harness or greyhound news update. Majority of it is thoroughbred for our RSN listeners, because SEN is now owns RSN. So my role from 5 till about 6:30 in the morning is to make sure all those news reads are down pat. So I'll do 3 news reads. And then from 7 a.m. all the way through to 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m., I am assistant producer, co-host and panel operator for Giddy Up with Gareth Hall on SEN Track. And then outside of that, I'll be requested to do TV, hosting on TV, form analysis for TV, hosting our trackside shows on SEN Track. So doing the form for that, making sure I host those to the best of my ability. And that's basically what the week looks like. And then when the football season's around, which we know is done now, it's hosting post-game, so taking talk back, and then producing and panel operating there as well. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
And then recording your podcasts when
And then recording podcasts when I have time as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's a 24/7 gig, but I love it.
Don't get me wrong. We absolutely love this industry. We wouldn't be in it if we didn't. We are the luckiest people in the world to call our job. But
yes.
I think there is a bit of misconception around what it is to be working in radio and how sexy and glamorous it is. I mean, waking up at 4 a.m. isn't too sexy. What's a big misconception that maybe took you by surprise?
The misconception I think that a lot of people have is that when you clock into work, and I mean, not that we're punching into a time code or anything like that. We do on our apps, but you clock into work, you finish work, and that's it. Doesn't work that way. The news cycle is 24/7. So, for example, with Gareth's show, Giddy Up, it goes from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., but the news cycle goes all day. So at 9 p.m. at night, something may break. We need to be around it. at midnight, something may break, phone notification goes off. I need to know that by the time I get in at 5 a.m. in the morning, that it is part of the news and we go from there. So it's a 24/7 job. Again, the more time and effort you put into these things, the more you're going to get out of it. It's like anything.
I think a few more people need to hear that.
Some people are graced with more smarts. Some people are graced with more confidence. It can be a physical thing. It can be a biological thing. It can be the way in which your emotions are made up as well. So everybody is different. But again, the one thing that I know for sure, where we are in Australia, is that if you bust your backside to a point and you are talented to a point, sky's the limit. No one's stopping you.
What keeps you motivated every day, Paul? I think we sometimes get lost in the rat race of this industry. We all want to get better. As you said, just before, the sky is the limit. So none of us really stop and take a breath. But what keeps you going in this industry?
That's a great question.
I like to get you thinking.
What gets me motivated? Family?
Yeah.
That's one. Doing them proud, definitely. Achieving the goal that I set out for myself when I started this process, which is to be a TV host, to be a commentator, to be a media presenter. And to a point, I've achieved that because I've had that title bestowed upon me for a couple of years now. But reaching the top and reaching the pinnacle, that's calling an AFL grand final, calling the Olympics, hosting a grand final, hosting the Olympics, hosting main spring carnival meetings is something that I've always wanted to do from ever since I can remember. Getting there is great, but there's still the carrot that's been dangled because I want to go further than where I am at the moment. And that's not me wanting to, it's not saying that I want to leave SEN or anything like that, but there are still progressions.
Everyone has dreams.
Yeah, but there are still progressions up the ladder at SEN that I know I want to take, and the career path and that North Star that I've set for myself is definitely what motivates me. Financially, there's always going to be a motivation there, but I think if you're motivated by that solely, you never get there.
No way. I remember someone DM'd me once and they were like, oh, I'm thinking about getting in. I had no idea who this person is. Mm. Still don't know who this person is. Thinking about getting into the media industry, just reaching out to a few people about, you know, the industry. So I'm just wondering if it's good pay rate, because I don't know if I can, you know.
It's a very vague question, isn't it?
And I'm like, if that's the reason you're going into this industry, yeah, you are
It's a very vague question.
You've got to have like a fire in your belly in this industry. You can't be doing it because you want it. No. I mean, obviously everyone needs money. You need to live. But very, very interesting conversation I had there. You mentioned the North Star. Something very unique about the media industry is that your best friends, your colleagues, the people you meet in this industry are also your number one competitors. How do you go about managing and navigating that?
I think it's a good thing. And I think those close to you, your friends and your colleagues, your true friends and your colleagues, your work colleagues, and those two can mesh together, will want the best for you. And look, again, sometimes it may mean that you're competing for the same role. Simone did say, don't burn your bridges. If you are good enough for a role, irrespective of who is vying for that, you will get it. You will get it. And maybe you do need things to go your way. The person who's hiring, I understand that. But again, if you are good enough for the role and you've shown a work ethic to achieve getting into that role, you will get there, irrespective of who may be vying for that. That's how I see it.
Put that on a poster. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that.
Plus two, you can't. If you sell your soul and you burn a close friend or you burn someone you've been close with for years and years for a particular role, what does it mean?
Mm.
The relationship that you build with people around you, in my humble estimation, will get you further than tearing people down, trying to get into those roles. That's how I see it.
Without a shadow of a doubt. We actually, a few episodes ago, the guest was saying that he will never get a job because he's the most skilled person in the room. He'll get a job because he has great people skills. And I
great call.
Have never had someone articulate what I've thought in my brain.
Great call.
I absolutely agree with that. I'll never get a job because I am the most skilled applicant. But I think the connections I have with people and the way I can develop a relationship absolutely will. So you're right.
Well, this is what the course, the Holmes Glen Sports Media course, gets you ready for. The communication skills in the interview room, with your CV, how you garner relationships in the industry as well. It's a very, very important aspect, which is, I think, not avoided, but it's not given enough impetus by industry leaders and other degrees.
Well, the industry's too small. I mean, we mentioned it off the top, but I knew you through Blue Abroad channels and Barracking for Carlton. We then studied the same course years apart, and now we're working for the same company. So all
6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows everybody some way or somehow.
Absolutely. You've been in the industry now for quite a few years. What's been the biggest change, do you think, or do you think will change in the future?
Oh, the biggest change has been social media. It's been enormous, and YouTube and content creators when it comes to sport. So I'm talking fan channels. Fan channels are the trailblazers for media. And I've been fortunate enough to have dealings with AFTV, Arsenal Fan TV, who were the original fan channel. They were the first ones to make it big, giving fans a voice. I mean, fans have always had a voice, but that's been at the ground. They've never had a chance to get into tabloid. They've never had a chance to get into newspapers. And newspapers have now become, the printing press has become YouTube, social media. It's social media and getting our news from our phones and computers and through fan channels has been the biggest development since the printing press. And remain uneducated in that space at your peril.
Yeah.
You cannot let it go. You cannot let it go. And that's where we've seen, in inverted commas, traditional media, radio, TV and whatnot, they've all moved. It's still there, obviously, but everything that you see with radio and TV, what they do now is put on social media. It's all digital.
100%.
It's all digitalised now, and that's where they're going to make their money.
Well, you mentioned the 24-hour news cycle. If there is not a show on traditional media at that exact moment when that news drops, you can't cover
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You can get on your Twitter page and say, correct, breaking news. Terry can get on Blue Abroad and make a video straight away. It's faster.
Exactly.
It works for how we are at the moment.
Exactly. So from when I started, from when I got into the idea of wanting to pursue a path in media, social media and YouTube fan channels have been the biggest development since then, probably, in the last decade. It's been crazy.
You have been such a great guest, Paul. We finish
thank you.
Every episode with a bit of advice for the listeners out there. So what is the best piece of advice you've ever received or that you'd like to pass on to those listening?
Very good question. The things that you think that are out of your control are not out of your control. So what you think may be influencing your career path, that may be macro or micro to a certain point of view, there are things in your control that you think that are uncontrollable that you can sort out to ensure that your pathway is one that's going to lead you to where you want to get. And I know, again, it goes without saying, you're going to get knockbacks. It's not going to be a linear path where you just say, oh, I want to reach this particular point of my media career and I'm just going to get to it by leaping to that stone and that stone. It doesn't work that way. The path to the North Star is up, down, left, right, north, south, each and every way you can think of. And you have to navigate your way through it. So again, there are things that are in your control that you may not think are in your control, but they are there right in front of you that you need to sort out before you go out and shake your fist at the sky as to why you may not be getting there.
I love that so much. I was going to interrupt and say, how good would it be if someone just handed it to you on a platter, but it actually wouldn't be.
Well, you don't value it.
Terrible, because it's the journey that makes it special.
Yeah, you don't value it as much. And like I said, my beginning, I've got no family in sports media. That there was nobody, no one in my family had thought of going to university or even getting a degree or anything like that. So you know, my grandparents are Italian migrants. They didn't even know what the language was. I think my dad still struggles with it just quietly. Big shout out to the old man. But that's you follow your passion and you don't give up. You can't stop. You cannot stop.
I actually really like that you mentioned that none of your family are in the industry, because nope. I was going on a walk with a colleague that I work with yesterday, and we're actually talking about, I think there's a big misconception in this industry that you have to be really well connected in terms of having a million connections just off the bat. Like, no one's born with connections. There's two types of people in the media industry, I think, personally. You're either nepotism baby, which is great. There's plenty of them. I love them. Got a great deal of respect for everyone that's a nepo baby, because they still work their ass off to get to where they are.
Of course, of course.
But then there's people that have no one and had to walk into rooms and introduce themselves to people, and that's how they got their connections. No one's just born with a notepad full of...
No, and you know what? Sometimes those are the most successful people.
Mm.
Eddie McGuire grew up in Broadmeadows.
Yep. Look at him now.
Novak Djokovic grew up in war.
Mm-hmm.
And was struggling to put... His family was struggling to put food on the table, and he's arguably the greatest tennis player we've ever seen. So, again, as much as your environment may pigeonhole you into an area of, you know, probably won't quite make it, or she probably won't quite make it, look at that. If you have the inner belief and you have the motivation and drive, no one can stop you.
Nothing
stops you. Only you can stop you.
Absolutely. Everyone is their own worst enemy.
Correct.
If someone's listening and wants to be Paul, they want to work at SEN and be absolutely everything, do everyone's job.
I'd be honoured.
What should they be doing right now to help them get there?
Ooh. I would say the best thing you can do is with the development of YouTube, put yourself out there. You may be completely wrong with what you're saying. You may cop a barrage of comments that are saying, oh, what does this person know about this particular topic? You've got no idea. But unless you put yourself out there and burn the edges and educate yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. Just go out and do it. Go out and write a piece. Go out and put something up on social media. Go do a piece to camera. Just do it. I know it's Nike's saying, but just do it.
Do it. Yeah. There's a lot of negatives about social media, but there is one thing that is fantastic about it. Anyone can work in this industry right now.
Correct.
You're your own brand. Start an Instagram account.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But there's two things that I think you need to learn as well. Assume that the person you're talking to might know something you don't. And don't be so ignorant and naive to think that what you're saying is wholeheartedly fact and the truth. Do your research, do your digging, get to the bottom of what you're looking into when it comes to media, and put yourself out there. Again, put yourself in front of the camera, and whatever feedback comes your way, take it on board and grow and learn from that.
I love it. And to wrap up the episode,
mm-hmm.
Everyone hates this question, so I'm sorry, but
I'm not
really.
So I'm going to like it. Good.
Hopefully. One word to describe your journey so far.
One word to describe the journey so far.
I can give you a sentence if you really
No.
Most people have taken the sentence option.
No, I don't want the sentence. I want one word. Ask me that again.
Can you describe your journey so far in one word?
Grateful.
Can you elaborate?
No.
You were like, you said one word. I'm giving you one word. I love it. Grateful is a beautiful answer. Thank you so much for your time today, Paul. It has
been
a beautiful full circle to sit opposite you today.
Likewise.
I really appreciated it.
Likewise. No, thank you for having me. And hopefully next time we're having this discussion, maybe Carlton have won a flag or Arsenal have won the Premier League title, one or the other.
I think I'll be 80 before that happens, but we can pray. Where can people listening find you on socials if they want to connect?
Actually, that's a good question. I'll get my social... What is my handle?
Sure.
It's at paoloseb05 on Twitter, or X, paoloseb05. I think it's the same on Instagram as well. Yes, it is the same on Instagram, and you can catch me on the airwaves. On SEN, SEN Track and RSN, all three.
God, SEN will love that plug.
They'll love that plug. And again, that wasn't a cash for comment either.
You've been listening to The Grad Perspective, where we dive into the real journeys of Holmes Glen Bachelor of Sports Media and Business graduates. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thegradperspective.pod and share this podcast with a friend. We will be back next week, same time, same place, with another fabulous guest.